Did we get a vague time on that? I know we didn't have the slot, did we? And we weren't. Don't worry. We need to protect that 1:40, don't we? That's going to be hard to sub down. Right. Can we green Martin's script?
I don't
need that on BDL, do you?
Okay. Yeah. I'll sort that out. Okay. Fantastic.
Can we green the weather studio live? Thank you. No. You don't want it on BDL, do you?
Actually, let me on there as well, just in case.
It's NCO Eric here again. We're still not hearing you. Can we just ask the camera to have a look at the filter, please? I think we might have the wrong filter. You're looking very green.
I'm thinking we haven't done the headlines yet. Am I right? Yeah. Good evening, welcome to the ITV News in London. Tonight's main stories. Cleaning up London, Boris's big plan on traffic and what it means for you. Can I go again? Good evening, welcome to the ITV News in London. Tonight's main story. Cleaning up the capital, Boris's big...
Rich, it's MCR again. We are hearing you.
Art and from his dad, the teenager who got a new kidney last night. Where other stores fear to tread the online business opening on the high street. And an MBE makes three, another medal for our golden Paralympian, Natasha Baker.
Hello, Ria. Should you call in? Hello. I'll pass you over to Nick, who's directing. Thank you.
Ria, it's Nina. Hiya. The guy you spoke to, the teenager who got the kidney from his dad, when did his operation happen? Last night. So I can say that. So I'm saying in the intro, where you are at the Royal London, 80 transplants are carried out each year, and one happened last night. Is that okay into your... Yep.
Hello, Ria, it's Nick directing.
Definitely.
Hi, just to confirm that on your first answer, I've got a graphic which you're leading into with the stats of 4.3 million people on the organ donor register, 2,000 on the transplant list waiting for an organ, and 864 people received donated organs, but 62 died or they could have a transplant. That is the one continuous read for you, yes, because the graphic is automated, so you're not going to say anything apart from what I just said, are you? Okay. Your line into the graphic is... Got it. Thanks, Ria. Thank you. Then there'll be another question from Nina after that.
Oh, is there no interview? Can you ask Ria if she kicks off on her transplant patients in the package or not? No, not hard in on the case study yet.
Ria and crew from NCR again. We really need to look at the calibre on the
camera. Lines you look, on you your high
like street,
your
jaunt, the one on the business, by another,
the retail trend.
I know it's ironic, but...
One minute. Okay.
คนทางตอนใต้ของบ้านเรานั่นเองค่ะเหมาะกับการสวมใส่ขึ้นมาแล้วก็ไปเที่ยวทะเลไปเดินเล่นตามชายหาดเป็นอย่างยิ่งเลยค่ะคุณผู้ชมคะ
So the rain's going to get progressively heavier overnight tonight. It's going to be staying wet tomorrow morning, but then turning much milder and drier after that. So the rain and sleet.
Yeah, MCR again. It's going to be a pain. If we try the camera on a different filter setting, you still look quite. Greeny,
after the break from online
to
on your
high street,
spotting the retail trend.
Yeah, that's best, yeah, thank you.
Good evening, welcome to the ITV News in London. Tonight's main story. Cleaning up the capital, Boris's big plan on traffic and what it means for you. From the heart and from his dad, the teenager who got a new kidney last night. Where other stores fear to tread the online business opening on the high street. And an MBE makes three, another medal for our golden Paralympian, Natasha Baker. Yep.
A decade after the dawn of the congestion charge, 5 years on from the launch of the low emission zone, motorists in London are being asked to embrace the first ever ultra low emission zone. It's the latest idea to tackle London's invisible killer, air pollution. Boris Johnson wants to impose tough new restrictions on every vehicle driving in central London.
The mayor insisted the new zone was all about cutting pollution and not raising money, but the driver of any vehicle which broke the rules would be fined. Environmentalists said it was a great idea, but they accused the mayor of being timid with his timetable.
The rules will come into force in 2020, probably within the current congestion charge zone. All vehicles will have to be zero or low emission. The restrictions, a decade after the dawn of the congestion charge, 5 years on from the launch of the low emission zone, motorists in London are being asked to embrace the first ever ultra low emission zone. It's the latest idea to tackle London's invisible killer, air pollution. Boris Johnson wants to impose tough new restrictions on every vehicle driving in central London.
The mayor insisted the new zone was all about cutting pollution and not raising money, but the driver of any vehicle which broke the rules would be fined. Environmentalists said it was a great idea, but they accused the mayor of being timid with his timetable.
The rules will come into force in 2020, probably within the current congestion charge zone. All vehicles will have to be zero or low emission. The restrictions will apply during business hours when the streets are at their busiest.
On my way here today, I overtook a 8-litre Maserati something or other on my bike. It was, you know, there it was, dawdling in traffic, emitting prodigious.
And to improve the capital's air quality, if it went ahead, it would be the biggest change to London's roads since the congestion charge came in a decade ago. The mayor wants what's called an ultra-low emission zone by 2020, banning cars, buses or lorries that don't have low or zero emission engines. But will the technology and the money be ready for such a bold plan in just 7 years? We have this report from our fiscal question.
We're at MCR here again. Is the top light and the camera, has it got a separate filter that you can try? We're still trying to get this colour issue sorted. Does it have about a daylight?
Good evening. Welcome to the ITV News in London. Tonight's main story. Cleaning up the capital. Boris's big plan on traffic.
Yeah, so this is not, just to be more specific, we're not talking about the filter on the camera, we're talking about the drop-down filter on the top light. You might have a daylight filter.
Listening on the high street. And an MBE makes three. Another medal for our golden Paralympian, Natasha Baker.
Right, that's much better. Yeah, we're right balancing that. I think we've
been doing that. Has announced a revolution to improve the capital's air quality. If it went ahead, it would be the biggest change to London's roads since the congestion charge came in a decade ago. The mayor wants what is called an ultra-low emission zone by 2020, banning cars, buses and lorries that don't have low or zero
emissions. Yeah, we'll buy that, thank you.
But will the technology and the money be ready for such a bold plan in just 7 years? We have this report from our political correspondent, Simon Harris.
A decade after the dawn of the congestion charge, 5 years on from the launch of the low emission zone, motorists in London are being asked to embrace the first ever ultra low emission zone. It's the latest idea to tackle London's invisible killer, air pollution. Boris Johnson wants to impose tough new restrictions on every vehicle driving in central London.
The mayor insisted the new zone was all about cutting pollution and not raising money, but the driver of any vehicle which broke the rules would be fined. Environmentalists said it was a great idea, but they accused the mayor of being timid with his timetable.
The rules will come into force in 2020, probably within the current congestion charge zone. All vehicles will have to be zero or low emission. The restrictions will apply during business hours when the streets are at their busiest.
On my way here today, I overtook a 8-litre Maserati something or other on my bike. It was, you know, there it was, dawdling in traffic, emitting prodigious fumes. And I thought, one day, that guy is going to have to get a cleaner vehicle.
Which begs a question. Is the mayor morphing into someone else?
Nobody needs to damage the environment by driving a gas-guzzling Chelsea tractor in central London.
In 2008, then-Mayor Ken Livingstone proposed a £25 congestion charge for 4x4s. There was fierce opposition.
It's going to do nothing to the environment.
But that was then. Today, John Griffin runs London's biggest private hire firm, employing 5,000 people. He's desperate to find a fleet of zero-emission taxis, but says the technology doesn't exist and electric cars aren't the answer.
Well, there's a problem if I am parked outside your house and, you know, I want to charge my vehicle at your expense or I'm on the 13th floor of the block of flats, and I've got a wire hanging out the window. You know, these are practical things that have to be addressed. I think we have, you know, over-egged it. It's really not the solution we'd like it to be.
There are many unanswered questions. How big will the fines be? Will residents get a discount? Boris Johnson doesn't have the answers yet. And by 2020, he'll be long gone from City Hall. Simon Harris, ITV News.
Joining me tonight is Simon Burkett, the founder and director of Clean Air London, which campaigns for the capital to comply fully with the guidelines from the World Health Organization about air quality. Thank you for coming in. Some people will be shocked at this bold proposal coming in such a short period of time. You think it's far too late?
It is. I mean, the mayor's done two things today. The first is he's announced backward steps on the next phase of his own low emission zone due in 2015, which was only agreed 2 years ago. And the second is a wish list of measures, either to be completed by local authorities, or in the case of the ultra-low emission zone, it would really be a measure to be considered by the next mayor, because it wouldn't come in until 2020 or later.
Yeah, given that, how realistic is it?
Well, you know, it's a sort of aspiration, you know, so what we really need is to tackle the second biggest public health risk. Only smoking is a bigger public health risk. Mm. Legal limits for nitrogen dioxide, which is a toxic gas.
Hello, Ria. There's about 2 minutes for you. You've got minute 10 on your line. Are you happy with this 10?
Legislation in 1999 until 2025, and London's got the worst levels of nitrogen dioxide of any capital city in Europe. We need action.
Everyone would want to live in a cleaner city, of course, but how practical is it? Because the cars aren't ready, the lorries aren't ready, the technology for those cars isn't ready, isn't going to be ready by 2015 for your aims or even by 2020.
Well, the mayor's own estimates from...
Apologies, Rhea, it's about 5 minutes. Sorry about that.
...to these big trucks and coaches and other buses can reduce the most harmful emissions of oxides of nitrogen and the particles by 70% and 80%.
Are those filters ready right now?
They are.
Okay,
they are.
So what about asking companies and individuals to fund putting in those filters? Because everybody knows money's tight, isn't it? Is it the right time to be getting people to invest in such filters?
It absolutely is. I mean, the mayor's own estimate with his air quality strategy is that air pollution costs London about £2 billion a year. Now, we've got green businesses who are no doubt expecting to provide these filters for the 2015 scheme, who are now left in the lurch, and we've got a massive public health impact, not just on older people, but also children as well. Which,
but it just puts more pressure on those businesses that are already struggling, doesn't it?
Well, it puts pressure on some businesses, and the mayor should do everything he can to help those businesses. But think about the businesses who had planned and invested to produce these filters, who are now left in the lurch for 2015.
Very briefly, electric cars, will we see those widespread usage by 2015, by 2020? Because it seems not, doesn't it?
Well, the Liberal Democrats have come up with a very well thought through proposal, which actually shows that the fuel savings by not using
cars. But will we see them? If you live in a flat, how are you going to charge it? We're not going to see them on the streets anytime soon, are we?
We will see them if we have a measure which is committed, not something which is a vague aspiration like we had from the mayor today, for a very long way ahead.
All right, Simon Burkett, thank you.
Pleasure.
Next, all week we've been telling you about ITV's From the Heart campaign, trying to encourage more people to sign up to the organ donor register and ultimately help save lives. ITV News London has today had exclusive access to the Royal London Hospital in Whitechapel, where around 80 transplants are carried out each year. And a very special one happened just last night. Leah Chatterjee has spent the day at that hospital. Here's her report.
The transplant unit is quiet, but the staff are busy. The patients are hidden away in the hospital, but their lives entirely connected to the outside world. There are those who are waiting for an organ donor and those who have been lucky enough to get one.
It really does impact on people's lives. And, you know, some people need to transplant more than others.
There are still a shortfall in donors. There are still fewer people than we would like on the National Register as donors.
Well, I felt really good because I knew after all this time that I've been waiting for the transplant, I finally got it.
Janice Johnson comes here 3 days a week and spends 4 hours each time on dialysis. She contracted a form of lupus that attacked her kidneys. She's cut down her working hours and depends on her children for care at home. So far, a year on the transplant waiting list.
It's a bit nervy. Some days I try not to think about it because they say it's still a major operation, but I just, you know, all I can do is come in and just hope one comes along sooner rather than later.
The service here has been operating since the late 60s. On average, they perform around 80 renal transplants a year.
Life on dialysis is a little bit of an existence, really. It's very demanding. You're alive in moderate health, but not in good health. You don't feel as well as a normal person. And these patients, within 4 weeks of being transplanted, feel rejuvenated. They just feel absolutely fantastic. And they can't stop talking about it.
The transplant service includes a team of doctors.
Buffer backup.
That's the team
that's right. And that's because the transplant process is extremely complicated. Patients need to be fit and well and also mentally prepared for the operation. Denis Mladenov had a kidney transplant last night. He has a hereditary disease that causes chronic renal failure. Waking up this morning, he said, felt good.
Well, basically, I'm young, I'm 18, and I'm, you know, all the 18 is going to go out, have fun with friends and play football. And some of the things I wasn't able to do, I had restrictions on food and water and everything. So you go down the mall and you see people eating different stuff, yeah, and you know that you want it, but you can't because it's about your health. It was risk.
Dennis had a live donor. He now has one of his father's kidneys. But in the case of deceased donors, relative refusal rates are very high. Medical professionals say raising awareness about the donor register is vital.
They're giving them a second chance of life. And that's really nice of them. So I'll just say to all the people that... What can I say? I can't say nothing. It's their choice. But if they do it, that means they're really good people, kind people.
The patients on this unit are linked by their illnesses that are in very different positions. Some waiting to get on the road to recovery, others already there.
Maria, it's incredible to hear Dennis talking to you so soon after his operation. He is one of the lucky ones. Right here, right now, how many organ donors are needed? You touched in your piece on refusal rates. Why are they quite so high?
4 less. 10 less.
All right, we're at Whitechapel there. Thank you. And you can find out more about ITV's campaign by...
Fantastic work, yeah.
From the heart. Details there about how to become an organ donor yourself. There are usually around 1,500 inquiries a day about joining the donor register. Well, since the campaign began on Monday, there have been an incredible 12,000 inquiries. And I should tell you that the campaign reaches its climax with a show tonight on ITV. It is hosted by Dermot O'Leary, and the supporting cast includes Hugh Laurie, Harry Enfield, Pixie Lott and McFly, all working to raise awareness of organ donation and how to register as a donor. That is From the Heart, starting at 9 o'clock. Tonight. The newly elected Deputy Police Commissioner for Hertfordshire resigned today after she likened socialists to Nazis on Twitter. The Conservative Dr. Rachel Foch sparked controversy when she retweeted a post from another user which linked to a quote by Hitler. She's only been in the role since November. Police are questioning two people after a man was found dying from a gunshot wound on a street in Dartford. The 32-year-old victim, who hasn't yet been named, was found around 8 o'clock last night. A 24-year-old woman and a 25-year-old man, both from Dartford, were arrested on suspicion of murder early this morning. Romford is set to get a brand new ice rink in 2 years' time, but not everyone is happy. For those who use it, that is 2 years without an ice rink at all. The existing one is being pulled down to make way for a new supermarket. Some parents fear that without an ice rink to entertain their children, they might be tempted to turn to crime. Nick Thatcher.
It's home to ice hockey and figure skating clubs enjoyed by hundreds of children. But this rink in Romford
is set to close in weeks. The local council has backed plans by Morrison's to redevelop the site on the Rhone Valley Way. The supermarket giant will build a new store and housing here, and in a land swap pay for the development of a state-of-the-art leisure centre, including a new ice rink, on land they own in the centre of the town. But that won't be open for at least 2 years, and Oki Bulker, whose two children are members of the clubs here, told me that without a temporary venue available during the construction, there'll be nowhere for the kids to practice and play.
I'm the mum of two boys, and the reason I back their passion for this sport, doesn't matter what sport it is that it is keeping them busy, it's getting them fit and healthy, it's keeping them away from the streets and the temptations that are out there. And the fact that this is being taken away from them for so long, I think is just diabolical, to be honest.
And Kelly Kasser agrees. Her 4-year-old daughter and 9-year-old son come to the clubs here, and she's worried they'll both lose out.
A lot of our boys and girls are not going to go back to ice hockey because we can drive to other clubs, but they're miles away.
But Havering Council insists the deal is a win-win for sports enthusiasts and council taxpayers. Local people will in time get a brand new ice rink, which will cost them next to nothing to build.
We've looked at the provision of a temporary ice rink, but we've been advised that it could cost £1.5 million. And for something which would be only of use for 18 months to 2 years, that just isn't feasible in the current economic climate.
This is what the new ice rink could look like, and Morrison say they've had positive feedback from local people for their draft plan.
Morrison's tell us that during a public exhibition consultation carried out last summer, 67% of respondents backed the plans for the redevelopment. And in a statement, they say, "We are delighted to play a role in helping to secure the long-term future of an ice rink in Romford."
And those protesting do agree the developments with their jobs and houses are needed and welcome. They just hope the ambitions and talents of the young people who use this rink won't be lost while they wait. Nick Thatcher, ITV News, Romford.
You're watching the ITV News in London. Still to come this evening, the woman moving from online to onto the high street. And she shares her best business tips with us. But first, it is Ash Wednesday, the first day of Lent, the 40 days of fasting and penance by Christians. And Southwark Cathedral now has a sculpture of Jesus Christ, which will sit in front of its high altar until Easter Saturday at the end of March. It's called Christ Rest in Peace, and it's been created by one of Britain's greatest sculptors, Nick Sidian Greenwell. I'm just delighted to say that he joins me now. Thank you for coming in. Is it right that you, for a long time, for years, have had an image of Christ's face, but you didn't have anywhere to project that image?
I think probably the answer is yes. Obviously, they've been shown in small galleries and exhibitions, but this to me has been probably one of the most the greatest opportunities to be able to publicly display a work that I've been working on for the last 25 years, as you say, in, as I feel, one of the most beautiful Gothic cathedrals in the centre of our capital.
It is an incredible space, isn't it, just being inside that cathedral. You lose yourself. You don't feel as if you are in the heart of a very bustling city. You were able to see your creation today in situ for the first time. What was that moment like for you?
It was very humbling, I have to say, but it was moving. And we witnessed the ashes service for an hour and a half before I was able to do a little bit of finishing touches on it, and I was moved.
It is an incredible piece. It is only there until next month. What will happen to it next?
Well, hopefully we're planning on it moving not far west to Jermyn Street, in fact, for an exhibition at the Sladmore Gallery, where hopefully it'll be more intimate, I suppose. It'll be laid on the ground. At the moment he's raised up so we can see him above the nave altar. But there he'll be placed on the ground in a much more close quarters so that people get a closer touch.
You're known for your equine creations. So how did this particular commission come about?
Well, this came about really, I suppose, because
I believe a couple of people may notice that I've worked on the spiritual work and have been for a number of years. And it came about actually when my father was dying, and it prompted me into contemplating the moment of death and Christ being laid in the tomb. A very, very realistic and something that we all inevitably will face.
Excellent, Ian. I'm sure lots of people in the next days and weeks to come will enjoy what you have created. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next this evening, another chain store has collapsed today, adding to the toll of high street casualties due in large part to the surge in online shopping. The fashion company Republic has gone into administration, putting 2,500 jobs at risk. It follows the likes of HMV, Blockbusters and Jessup's, who've had to call in the administrators over the past few months. But one businesswoman is reversing that trend by taking her online store onto the high street. Julie Dean set up the Cambridge Satchel Company 4 years ago with just £600. Now it has an annual turnover of £12 million. Well, today she opened her first shop in Covent Garden. But is she worried about doing that just when the high street appears to be fighting for survival? Liza Martel has been finding out.
Come see my new shop.
If the high street's dying, Julie Dean's business is very much alive. In just 4 years, she's created a colourful, multi-million pound empire.
Where did the idea of the actual satchel come from?
It came because I was really irritated with my children's school bags. They were always out wanting something with some motto or the latest thing on. So I kept thinking I had a satchel and it looked good the whole way through.
And from that idea, she set up her business. It all started in her kitchen, armed with just £600 and a laptop.
You're my guy.
What followed was a modern business success story. Fashion bloggers and celebrities liked and endorsed her product, and the company went viral.
You realise you're kind of like a role model for lots of people who kind of fantasise about saying, you know, I've got an idea, I'm going to be able to do it, but you've actually gone and done it.
If there is any influence that I can have to encourage people to just go out and do it, you know, that's great, because I didn't remortgage my house. I would never think of myself as a huge risk taker. And there are loads of people out there just like me. And I started it with £600 and just lots and lots of determination and focus.
With success has come the problem of cheap imitations.
In just September, we found there were 331 counterfeit websites out there saying that they were Cambridge Satchel. You know, often they'll put our phone number on the bottom and then they'll get a phone call saying, where's the satchel? And so we've really stamped down on that a lot. Most of those now have been closed down.
Now Julie's reversing the current trend, going from online to the high street.
Do you worry about the economic climate?
No, I just keep focused on what we're doing, you know, and hopefully if we can do it and do it absolutely brilliantly and keep making in Britain, people will get behind us and carry on supporting us. We've never had investors and we've never gone overdrawn at the bank. So it's hopefully it is an inspiring thing that people will just give it a go, because otherwise they'll just kick themselves.
The company has had profit after profit so far, but success on the high street isn't yet in the bag. Max Martel, ITV News, Covent Garden.
And if that's tempted you to start thinking about setting up your own business, but you aren't sure where to start, Julie has kindly agreed to share some of her experience and top tips with you on our website. Just head to itv.com/London to see what advice she can offer. The main headline in London tonight, all vehicles driving in central London during working hours will have to be zero or low emission under new proposals for an ultra-low emission zone. The Mayor of London wants his plans in place by 2020. I'm joined by Martin now. Everyone's complaining about the cold weather at this time of year, but one pensioner from Ealing is having more trouble than most with it.
Exactly right. Now, her name is Jeanne Socrates. She's 70, that's 7-0, and she's halfway through her third attempt to sail on her own, unassisted, around the world.
Of course she is.
Of course she is, why wouldn't you? Now, she's been thwarted twice before because of technical reasons, and before she set off back in October, she popped into the studio and she told you, actually, that that's exactly what's spurring her on.
I was so devastated that
been my non-stop attempt, I'd stopped at that point, because there was just so much damage on the boat that I really couldn't sensibly continue.
Now, as I said, you know, she's already set off in October. She's already gone past the Cape Horn, which is between South America and Antarctica, and she's just safely navigated the Cape of Good Hope, just to the south of Africa there. And according to the Met Office, that is one of the most notorious oceans.
It was once called the Cape of Storms because of the dangerous current and strong winds in and around this area. And at this time of year, ferocious southeasterly winds head towards this area, bouncing off the nearby land, becoming gusty and sporadic as they do so. Combined with rough seas, this area would test even the most experienced of mariners.
She is kind of one of the most experienced in terms of, I remember her being so formidable and stoic, so she will try to cope with those problems, won't she?
Well, absolutely, and she keeps sending these really matter-of-fact emails. Essentially what's happening is the boat's rocking up and down, and so anything that's screwed down becomes undone. So she just says things, you know, very casually, like there's no information on wind conditions, the electronic compass has disappeared, part of the autopilot has packed up, and in her words, she's navigating by the seat of her pants. But she did have time to send us an email saying, struggling just now to keep heading east with light variable winds ahead of bad weather tonight, the lull before the storm, typical southern ocean conditions, but best wishes to all at ITV London. But, you know, so she may be struggling, and I'm afraid it's going to be wet for us tonight as well. So the rain's going to get progressively heavier overnight tonight. It's going to be staying wet tomorrow morning, but then turning much milder and drier after that. So the rain and sleet that's around at the moment is going to be turning to heavy, persistent rain by about midnight. So for all of us, it's going to be very wet indeed, and the wind is picking up as well. And it's going to be windy tomorrow morning as well, and wet too. So pretty unpleasant start to the morning. The temperatures are milder than they've been, and the temperatures in the afternoon are actually going to be really quite pleasant, up as high as 10 degrees, with some nice spells of sunshine around for all of us as well. The wind's still there, but then things are looking nice and settled after that. So dry, with some sunshine around, Friday, Saturday, and particularly on Sunday, which is shaping up to be a lovely day, all the time, temperatures staying mild. I'll see you later. Goodbye.
And finally, another medal for Natasha Baker to go with the two golds she won at London's Paralympics. The horse rider from Hammersmith has been at Buckingham Palace today to receive her MBE from the Queen for services to equestrianism. And if those medals weren't shiny enough, Natasha also brought a bit of bling with her, as Liz Wickham now reports.
Natasha Baker fills the anxious moments before meeting the Queen by making a new friend, doubtless telling him how she nearly failed to get there on time. She'd been posting on Facebook her nightmare journey, stuck on the M4. Just 6 months after winning two golds in the Equestrian Paralympics, today she received an MBE from Her Majesty to add to her treasure. But the New Year's honour wasn't the most eye-catching bling as she made her way over to me in the palace courtyard. Her silver-topped cane was studded with 2,500 crystals.
Beautiful. Wow.
Brilliant, isn't it?
When did they give it to you? Did they present it to you after the medal?
No, I've literally got it last week. So I thought a special occasion, I'll give it its debut here today.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's beautiful, really lovely.
By then, any anxiety about talking to the Queen was long gone.
The Queen asked me how my horses were, what competitions I've been doing, and am I planning on going to Rio, and what have I got coming up this year. So she actually remembered me from when I was here last time, which was a bit surreal, but yeah, it was really incredible. You know, she's got a massive passion for horses. She loves them. I wish I could have come in here with my horse. That would have been really special, but no, she's so interested in what's going on with the equestrian sports, which is really lovely.
Well, at risk of repeating the Queen, what are your plans for the immediate season?
We've got the European Championships this year in Denmark, so fingers crossed for that. Then we've got the World Equestrian Games next year, then another Europeans, and then Rio. So it's going to be a really full-on 4 years, but it'll be exciting. Not quite as exciting as London, but I'm sure it'll be equally as good.
Already, 13's a lucky number for Natasha. Liz Wickham, ITV News, Buckingham Palace.
Well deserved, wasn't it? And that is all from the London team for now. We're back with the latest after ITV News at 10. Now it's time to join Alastair Stewart and Mary Nightingale for the national and international news.